Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm Ed English, sitting in for my lovely and talented wife, Sheila, who is in New York City at Thriller Fest. And along that line, please be aware we are having a special Thriller Fest show this Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Because she's at Thriller Fest, tonight we're going to be letting you hear some of the interviews that Sheila was able to conduct while at the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention. We've got three interviews for you with authors Kate Douglas, Julie James, and Lucy Monroe. So sit back and enjoy hearing about their books and about their lives.
Hi, welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio, and I am your host, Sheila English. And today I'm very excited to have one of my... favorite authors with us, Kate Douglas. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Sheila.
We have a lot to talk about. You have a lot going on in your life right now.
I do.
A whole lot.
Too much.
Too much, yeah. So, and you'll probably need a vacation after RT.
Everyone needs a vacation after RT.
I know, you know.
It's exhausting.
I'm going home. I'll get home Sunday, and I'm telling everybody I'm not getting home until Tuesday. I need to sleep all day Wednesday, or all day Monday.
I'm getting home Sunday, and then I have to start thinking about packing for BEA in 3 weeks.
I know, yeah, me too.
Yeah, New York.
Crazy. Well, I want to talk about, because we have so much to talk about, let's talk about Demon Fire.
Okay.
So that just came out.
Yes, that was February 23rd, which I marked by running my truck into the side of the hill, driving to town to sign books.
No.
Yes, I did. Yes, I discovered that when you're driving a little pickup and it's raining and you hydroplane and you run into the mountain will always win.
Always,
yeah.
Yes. Trees win if they fight your house, I hear.
Yeah, yeah. We had a tree come down, but that was another house and another, you know. So that was over and done with. But the good thing is that if I had not hit the mountain, I would have gone about 100 feet down the other side. So it was not an entirely bad accident.
Okay, you found a silver lining.
Yes, make lemonade. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always.
Well, speaking of silver lining, your career's just taken off. I mean, it's like, I feel like I knew her when.
There was a lot of when. There was a whole lot of when. It took me 20 years to sell my first book. I had done some e-publishing, but it was 20 years. I was 55 years old when I signed my first contract with Kensington.
Wow. So your overnight success was about mm-hmm. 20 years of overnight.
Yeah. If I figure my income as an author, I'm way below minimum wage if I put all the time, you know, that I put into it. I think it's about 15 cents an hour now, you know.
Oh,
but
no.
It's good. It's all good.
So tell everyone a little bit about Demon Fire.
Demon Fire is, I wanted to write something lighter than Wolf Tales. Wolf Tales does a lot of angst. I wanted something that was a little bit more fun, and I had this image of demon-possessed garden gnomes. And I'm not sure where it came from, but I kind of came up with a storyline around demon possession, demons taking over the little town of Evergreen, which is actually a euphemism for Mount Shasta. The little town of Mount Shasta.
Okay.
I've always liked Mount Shasta, and it just evolved into a tale of a demon who was too good for hell, who got booted out of hell, hired by the angels to fight demons on earth. And Dax is my very sexy, sexy ex-demon.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun. I had a lot of fun with that one. There are four books in the series.
And speaking of other books, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this really sexy picture, and it looks like the hero has blonde hair, which you don't see very often. Hellfire.
Well, the hero's not human. There is actually a mythology that goes in the Mount Shasta area that there's a race of people, sort of like Atlanteans, called Lemurians. And the Lemurians also lived on a continent that sunk beneath the sea, but they relocated inside Mount Shasta. And that supposedly happened about 10,000 years ago. This is an actual local history. You can read about it. It's online. I've done a lot of study about Lemurians. who, according to their mythology, are 12 feet tall and have a horn in the middle of their foreheads, which really didn't work for my sexy hero image. So I made them about 6'8" and no horn. And Alton was introduced in Demonfire in the first book, and Ginny Jones, his heroine, is an African-American 9/11 dispatcher who works for Shastcom up in the Mount Shasta area. And she ends up in Sedona, Arizona, and Alton follows her because demons have taken over the pets in Sedona. And
the pets.
We have canaries with teeth who are attacking. We have attack chihuahuas. We have.
I actually have one of those.
You do, don't you? I've seen pictures of your attack chihuahua, but it doesn't have teeth a la Jaws.
Right.
Yeah. So, but the story with Alton and Ginny is really a lot of fun. It really was a fun one to write.
Oh, I love the. Now, is this going to be the cover?
Yes, that's the cover.
So, people are. Is this online yet? On your
yes,
website?
It is. In fact, not only are the covers online at my website at katedouglas.com, but I have the first chapter of all of my books up too.
Including Hellfire.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm going to have to go over and I have to read this. Wildly Entertaining, A Fabulous New World for Fans of the Paranormal by Jane Ann Krentz.
Yes.
That had to be.
That was a thrill.
Yes.
Jane Ann Krentz and I are both on a blog that Jane actually invited me to join, and I'm still in shock that I'm on a blog with Stella Cameron and Laurie Foster and Jane Ann Krentz and all these wonderful women, Susan Anderson, Carla Nagers. I read their books. They're in my keeper shelf, but oh my God, they email me now.
Oh, wow.
I'm such a fangirl. It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
Now, tell me what's happening in the world of Wolf Tales.
Wolf Tales is still expanding. I just turned in the 11th book. It's 11, Wolf Tales 11, which is actually the 20th book in the series, if you count the Sexy Beast stories. And my characters are expanding. There's a lot of sex in Wolf Tales, for those who haven't read the series. And when you have that much sex, you start having a lot of babies. And I don't really want to write erotic romance with a lot of kids around. I'm real uncomfortable with that. So I'm working towards doing a next generation series, one with the children grown up, probably in their late 20s, early 30s, coming into their own as shapeshifters. And I'm hoping Kensington will show some interest in it because I really want to write the stories. I think it'll be fun.
So you have stories kind of already kind of gelling in your head?
I know the characters, and you know when you know the characters, you know exactly what kind of trouble they're going to get into. And they're getting into a lot of trouble. And I have a spirit guide that has been in the Wolf Tales series. His name is Igmataka. And Igmataka is going to be following one of these children as her spirit guide, but he has a problem because he's sort of falling in love with her. And we have to figure out how that's going to work out.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I just, as I said, then nothing is said. I haven't heard from my editor. She may look at the ideas and say, nope, we're not going to do that, but I think I can grovel and beg Audrey, and hopefully she'll come through.
I have to say, you're one of the most humble, successful authors that I have the pleasure of being friends with. But you've really come up. You said 20 years that you've been at it, and you really have arrived here. I mean, it's really exciting. What about those people who are still struggling?
Don't quit. Never quit. I had for a long time. I had that cartoon. I'm sure a lot of you have seen that. The cartoon of the gray heron. I can't say the word. Swallowing a frog, and the frog is choking the bird as he's going down its throat, and he's saying, never, ever, ever give up. And I think that's a lot of it. Keep learning your craft, stick with it, don't ever give up hope, and maybe it'll happen. It happened for me. I laugh about it now. I'm a 60-year-old grandmother of five, and I'm starting on a brand new career, and I can't imagine anything more exciting.
So you feel like your life's an adventure?
Constantly an adventure. It really is an adventure. And luckily my husband is still hanging on to the ride. Sometimes I think this poor man, I feel so sorry for him. Married to a writer? Think about it, you know? I mean, we're always on another planet.
So what's going to happen? What do you have going on the rest of the year? Conventions, books, anything. What do you have going on?
A lot. Actually, there's so many things I want to do. I love meeting my readers. And last year we did a lot of travel. And we did book stops all over the country. And I got to meet so many people. And this year, because of my schedule, I've got so many books with a new series. And I'll tell you something. I didn't realize that when I wrote Wolf Tales, it's 85,000 words long, how much different it was to write the Demon Slayer stories that are 120,000 words, because there's a lot more to remember. When I go back, I have very big short-term memory problems. And so every day when I start, I have to reread everything I've written before, because I don't remember from day to day where I left off, what I've done in the story. Even if I take notes, I have to still go back and reread. So it takes me a lot longer to do those 120,000 word books than I realized. So I'm working 7 days a week to get all my books written. I will be going to VEA in New York at the end of this month, end of May, and I'll be in Nashville for RWA, so I will see you there, Sheila. I'm sure you'll be there. And that's about it for travels for now. I may try and do something in the fall, but I've got two books coming out in September, so it's kind of hard to travel when you've got new releases. So,
right. Yeah.
I'm really excited about one of them. I'm in an anthology with Jacqueline Frank. And I'm a huge fan of Jackie, I'm really looking forward to that. It's called Nocturnal, and it's the story that I have in it is part of the Demon Slayers.
Wow. So, yeah, you have a lot going on.
I do.
It is truly an adventure.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Can't ask for anything better.
Oh, that's so great. Now, where can people find you online? Where are you hanging out these days online?
KateDouglas.com. There are links to my Facebook page. I answer all my email. I'm real accessible. I really am very accessible.
All right.
Because that's my social life, my readers. I don't have a line inside of my books for my readers. I really don't.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio.
Thank you.
And we'll have to have you come back after Hellfire comes out.
I would love it. Sounds good. Thank you, Sheila.
Hi, this is Sheila English. We're with Readers Entertainment Radio, and today I have a guest, Julie James, who the first time I actually saw you was on Sue Grimshaw's True Romance. You were just interviewed by Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, by another author, Joss Ware.
Right.
Sue
right.
had set it up for the True Romance.
Sue set it up, right.
She wanted to try an author-to-author interview, which I thought was a neat concept. And so
I like that idea. I really do. I think it's kind of like two for the price of one,
yeah.
You know, which is nice. And then I went to your website. Could you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Sure, at juliejames.com.
And Julie James seems like it's kind of a common, did you have a hard time getting that URL?
I did. I had to fight for it.
Did you?
Yes. It was owned by somebody else who wasn't doing anything with it and who wanted a lot of money for it, too. So
they picked the wrong person.
For,
they picked the wrong person to mess with because you...
A lawyer. I sometimes say former lawyer, but you're never really
right,
not a lawyer.
Right.
Once. Yes, I don't practice anymore.
Right, but you were an attorney,
So I got to use some of that negotiating when I went to get the website.
I have to ask you, because you're absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Thank you.
And you're an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that maybe you're a romance author, and sometimes there's a stereotype that comes with that, which... We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but do you find that people maybe underestimate you a little bit when you introduce yourself as a romance author?
When I introduce myself as a romance author, I don't know. I think when I was a lawyer, I felt like people underestimated me. I'm 5'3", so I think that people think short women are not going to be tough or something like that, so I constantly felt like that. As a romance author, I haven't found that so much. I feel like, I haven't found that. So maybe the community is more embracing than the legal community. I don't know, but...
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your book, and we're going to circle back around to the fact that you're a professional, career-oriented, confident woman. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about... I know there was a book that just came out in March.
In March, yes.
So tell us about that book.
That book's called Something About You, and it's about a woman who's an assistant U.S. attorney, and she is spending the night in a hotel room in Chicago, and she overhears a murder going on in the room next door. and she becomes the only eyewitness to this murder. And it's a high-profile murder involving a senator, so the FBI is assigned to the case, and they bring in Special Agent Jack Pallas, who is a woman, who is an agent from the heroine's past that she doesn't at all get along with, and the two of them are forced to sort of work together as this investigation continues. And as I always like to say, hijinks ensue. It sounds very suspense-y. It's actually more a humorous contemporary romance.
I was going to say, the book cover kind of lends to the thought that there's
It does. It has a suspense subplot, no doubt. I mean, there's this murder. But really, that's just the subplot that drives the hero and heroine together. But the rest of the book is sort of, you know, humorous and a lot of back and forth banter between the hero and heroine.
And you do screenwriting, too.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you won an award.
I did. The Midwest screenwriting competition for a thriller screenplay that I wrote.
So for people who haven't read you, if you could encapsulate the type of books that you write,
mm-hmm.
Using something they might be familiar with.
Yes. What would I say?
What would you say?
I would say I'm a huge fan of black and white romantic comedies, the older romantic comedies, anything with Cary Grant, all of those where it's just a lot of back and forth banter between the hero and heroine who think they don't like each other, but of course we know that they do. I would say that's my style. I did start writing with screenwriting, and so I sort of developed just an emphasis for dialogue. That's what I like to emphasize in my books as well, and I kind of carried that through to the books, and so I would say that's the style that I have.
Now that's up my alley, because I love, you know, Audrey Hepburn,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I actually own a lot of those black and white
mm-hmm.
movies, so
mm-hmm.
very fun. What's coming up next?
I just turned in the manuscript for my fourth book, and that is, it's not a series, but I'm taking some of the characters from Something About You who will be supporting characters, because the hero's another FBI agent, so once I was going to do an FBI agent, well, and I kind of had to bring in the FBI agents that I introduced in the third book. And it is about a woman who owns a wine store who agrees to pose as the girlfriend as an undercover FBI agent as part of a sting operation in exchange for her twin brother's release from prison. And again, it's funny. It's like I describe these and they sound very like suspense-y. And no, it's again just a minor suspense subplot, and it's more about the hero and the heroine and then sort of the back and forth between them.
So, you know, we talk about you, and you were an attorney, and you know you're a successful writer, and but you use humor. I mean, I guess thinking about your background, I would think, oh, she must do suspense,
mm-hmm.
and we should just, you know, get her together and have Joseph Fender interview her. but really, we could, you know, you have a sense of humor.
Well, I hope so.
Where'd that come from?
The type of movies I like. I mean, I like all movies, but when romantic comedy films work, they work great. And there's a lot that don't work. And in fact, I'm very critical of them. But when they work, they're I think they're like the comfort food of, you know, American film. And so I just like that, and I like to be able to put that in. And it's so funny because my second book, Practice Makes Perfect, is all about two lawyers. Fighting it out for a partnership spot in their firm. And again, it's humorous. And I remember one email that I got from a reader who said, who knew lawyers could be funny and sexy? And it was like, shockingly, some of us do have senses of humor. Not all lawyers are. I think lawyers get a bad rap, deservedly so in some cases, but some of us do have senses of humor, so.
But you have overcome two stereotypes then. You've overcome the attorney stereotype,
mm-hmm.
the shark, which, I mean, you're obviously not that, and the romance writer, which there is, you know, there
mm-hmm.
are still people who are stereotyping that.
Yes.
So I'm going to circle back around to the fact that you're a confident, career-oriented woman,
mm-hmm.
and have overcome these two stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, what do you attribute your overall success in both careers?
Ooh, that's a tough question. A lot of it is about, with the writing, I think it's about writing what you like. And what I like is really strong heroines. And I think that that's something that appeals to people. Certainly, other authors write very strong heroines, but I like to do that as well. I don't know. I don't know how, it's tough. I know that the stereotypes are out there, but I guess it's, you know, my books are helping to, you know, contradict that. That's a good thing. But it's not really anything I consciously do. It's just
I never really examined that.
No, I just write what I like.
Have you ever thought about that? I mean, because from an outsider looking at that, I'm thinking, wow, an attorney and a romance writer, and you come in and you're very personable and easy to talk to, and you have a sense of humor. Not what I expected, you know, shame on me, you know. Well, I never know what to expect, but obviously somewhere along the line somebody's instilled in you can be whoever you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
That comes across.
Well, sure. And I think to the extent that I am personable, I think that I was a trial lawyer, not a corporate lawyer. And I think when you are in front of a jury, you realize that you have to be engaging and, you know, draw people in and everything like that. So I think that some of that comes from maybe the lawyer background. But I don't know. I guess I don't have a great answer to that question. But
I guess we don't always self-examine our personalities and characters. You know, you just kind of, you move forward as who you are, because that's who you are. You don't need to pretend to be anybody else.
Right. Well, again, and one thing that they say is, you know, write what you know. And I've been really fortunate that I have a great group of girlfriends who are strong, successful, funny career women. Not just career, I mean, strong, successful, stay-at-home moms and everything, but really, I would say strong personalities, strong women, but also very funny, and I think that I draw on them when I write, you know, my characters too, and so I guess just what I see and putting that into the books.
Well, you're very approachable, and you're doing book signs. We're here at Romantic Times, we're here. Do you find that your fans, are they nervous to meet you, or they feel like, oh, I feel like I know you, I've known you forever? Do you get a lot of fans approaching you?
I do, and it's great. I think they're nervous? No, not really. I think the way that these book signings are generally set up, they seem to be very friendly and laid back. They're not, you know, certainly because I'm a relatively, new writer. I've been doing this for about 2 years now, and I don't think I knew what to expect. And it's not stilted, at least it hasn't been for me. And I find that everybody's really warm, and you know, they want to talk about your books and they want to ask questions about the books. And I had a great experience yesterday. Somebody did a book club with my book, and they brought pictures on their camera of the book club and cookies that they had made named Jack's Jimmy's, because the character in Something About You is Jack. And so, like, it's more like that. I find that it's very welcoming and just lets, you know, I'd like to get to know you a little bit more, and you know, so I think it's, everybody's very approachable.
Now, are you, other than your website, if people want to kind of meet you online, get to know you a little bit, where can they find you?
I have a blog that's attached to my website, so if you go to my website, that will take you to my blog. And I try to blog at least once a week. Sometimes it's more. It's not often less, except when I'm about to turn in a book. But other than that, I like to do once a week. I'm also on Twitter and on Facebook. On Facebook, I have a friend page and a fan page, and people are welcome to go to either of those.
I'm going to unlike you now.
I know, that's right. I just learned yesterday, I wasn't paying attention. It's not a fan page, it's they like you.
They like you, right. Which is interesting. Now, is that at Julie James as well?
Yes, both those are Julie James. And at Twitter, I couldn't get Julie James, so I'm Jewel James. At Jewel James. Yeah, J-U-L James.
And is that on your website too? Could
yes.
you find you there? Okay, that's probably the easiest thing is to go to juliejames.com and then start looking for you elsewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come down here and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, thank you very much. I want to thank our listeners for joining. This is Sheila English, Readers Entertainment Radio. Hi, and welcome to another segment of Not About My Book, where we're gonna learn some really exciting things about
one of my favorite authors, and we just had this conversation. We're not talking about books, but you can't separate the person from the author. So welcome, Lucy Monroe.
Thank you very much.
We're really glad, and we are currently here at Romantic Times in Columbus, and you know, it's really, I really love that I get to see you. I know we don't get to see each other very much because we're now on different coasts. I'm over on the east, and you're over on the west. What's been going on in your life? Your mom, your
I'm soon to be a grandmother again. I'm pretty excited about that.
Congratulations! Yes. I didn't know.
I know. You know, my daughter just got married in January, so it was all kind of whoa. But I'm excited, and she is too. We have one grandchild already, and she is a year and a half. So they get to be together, kind of like siblings. We have two houses. We have the satellite house we bought for the kids to rent and live in, and so they're all kind of the two families live in one house, and then I get to see them almost every day. I'm a spoiled mom. My daughters got married, but they did not move away.
And you love being a mom.
I do. I love it. I homeschooled my kids till they were in the fifth and sixth grade, and then moved them into school, and they did really well. And they're one just finished college, the oldest. And then the other two are starting together. My son took a year off, and my daughter, she's a year and a half younger, and they're both starting university in the fall, so that's really exciting. So she's going to be a new mom and going to university, but like me, she wants to pursue her dreams, and she's not going to pull back from them. You know, she's just going to readjust them for having a child and being a good mom herself, and she will be wonderful.
Oh, that's so, I love that. Now, I know you must, I know you're very busy, and you have family, you have career. Do you have, like, little hobbies? I mean, I'm sure you read, but, like, you know, maybe scrapbooking or traveling, or what other little things do you try to fit into your...
Travel is huge, actually. It's my biggest hobby or interest. My husband and I love to go places. We set a travel schedule about 6 years in advance.
Wow.
And know which trips we're going to take what year, and who we'll get a chance to visit with, and that kind of thing. I do. I scrapbook, and I like to do a little bit of gardening, not a lot. My husband is a big gardener. I will go out and write or read on the deck while he's doing his micro gardening, which is, you cannot imagine what that man can get out of a flower bed that is not a flower. We have a lot of vegetables in the summer. It's great. You know, and my family is, they just take up, I will play games together, we'll watch shows together. We have date nights for the family on Friday nights, so they come over and we watch movies. And sometimes my girls, their goal is to find a movie that makes me laugh so hard I pee. And I'm sorry if I'm terrible, but so we have a lot of fun. And, you know, I think it's just kind of like, I've always said my family is my hobby. Whatever we're doing together, and we're having a good time. And with my mom and my sisters, too, we're all super close. So it's good.
Oh, that's so nice. So there's like a big sisterhood through generations.
There is. I mean, I cannot believe how close my sisters and I are. And then our girls, all of them, are super close as cousins. And then the boys have wrapped in, because there was only one boy in our family, but with the cousins, there's more boys, and they've all wrapped in, and they're like siblings, all of these cousins. And they get together, and they spend time. I was talking about my youngest daughter, who's going to have a baby. She has a cousin date with her little cousin Hannah, who's like she just turned 12, and they have a cousin date once a week, so she doesn't get disconnected since she got married. Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
I like it.
Well, I've always known that you're very family-oriented, because every time we see each other, you've always got some kind of story, and I think that's wonderful. I think you are a very successful career woman, and you're close to your sisters, you're close to your daughters, and now you've got grandchildren.
Yeah.
And you get to be this role model, this strong woman that, you know.
You hope, yeah. That's the, you know, every time you work, and I do, I work hard to let them see that there's nothing they can't do. Don't ever believe that there's a limit, no matter how hard what you want to do seems. You just keep going. Because I told people, it took me 9 years to publish, and 9 years of just working at it and not giving up, and so there's nothing. There's nothing that if you really want to do it that you can't do.
That's beautiful. I love that. Well, on that note, I want to thank you again for joining
us.
Thank you. And real quick, let's go ahead and give them your website.
Oh, LucyMonroe.com.
LucyMonroe.com.
Pretty easy.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the interviews with Kate Douglas and Julie James and Lucy Monroe. Thank you for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio. Again, be aware there's a special show for Thriller Fest on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And join us again next Thursday for Readers Entertainment Radio.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.